You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the Morning Run on BFM 89.9. As usual, Breakfast Grill. We have an interesting personality and today, definitely a big star in the studio. Dr. Sri Tony Fernandez of Air Asia. Tony, welcome to the studios.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay. You bought Air Asia December 2001. That was just after September 11th. You went through SARS, tsunami, bird flu, things that were just awful for the aviation industry. So you've been through the hard times. You've survived the hard times. You've actually grown during the hard times. And everybody else right now is looking at 2009 and seeing hard times coming around. What advice do you give to people and how did you survive? Give us some examples.
Well, the first thing is that there's always a silver lining. Through any crisis, there are always opportunities, and you're absolutely correct that we've been through a lot more than what you just mentioned. But I think the key to what we've survived through this is aggressive marketing and giving value for money. There is always a demand out there. It's how do you get that demand? As long as you have a product that people want. So we've generally marketed ourselves and used innovation to adapt to a changing marketplace. And that's kind of led us through. Now, if you compare SARS, for instance, SARS was, to me, a tougher period than what we're about to see because people just didn't want to travel. But, you know, as I always joke about it, give Malaysians a good deal and they'll risk their lives. So I, you know, still feel that there are opportunities through 2009. There are opportunities to reduce cost, tighten your business up. And through innovation and aggressive marketing, you can ride this tough period up.
You also had a problem getting financial help at the very start. I think I can quote you saying you couldn't get a cup of tea from the banks when you went around knocking on their doors first time round. So right now, it's a credit crisis. It's credit crunch for people out there. So how did you go through setting up an airline when nobody wanted to give you a cent?
Well, you know, I don't think I can get a cup of tea right now either. basically, old-fashioned principles. Mm-hmm. We had to make sure that we were cash flow positive. We still have stuck to that old-fashioned principle. You can make your P&L look like however you want. The bottom line is, show me the cash. So we knew, I mean, we weren't a very credible story. Three guys from the music business, one ex-director general, going to a bank to say, we're going to start an airline. Not very convincing in any state of the market. So the key was just to make sure that the business was cash flow positive. And that's what we've always stuck to. That's been our guiding light whenever we started a business. And that's my best advice to anyone. Don't rely on borrowings. Make sure that your business can be cash flow positive from day one. Then you're on your own 2 feet.
You've got 150 A320s on order, another 50 on options. How are you going to finance those purchases?
Well, right now, actually, we're actually 175 firm and 50 options. Secured, Kamarudin, my partner, has secured financing for the next 37 aircraft. I mean, I have to give him amazing credit during the uncredit crisis, or whatever you want to call it, when there was credit available. We used commercial financing. Cameron always says, you never know, it could dry up. And to be honest, I never realized it would completely dry up. So right now, we're financing our planes using European guarantees, i.e. the European government backs, gives a guarantee to the bank, and hence the bank feels much more secure. So until 2011, we have our planes financed, which we're in a very luxurious position, to be honest, compared to most in the airline industry.
Now, your airline purchases, 175 planes coming in. Mm-hmm. Do you intend to have a fleet of 175, or are the planes that are coming in later into the next decade, are they just to replace the ones that have already arrived? Are you just planning to, you know, after you've used planes for about 5-6 years when the value is still good, do you tend to dispose of the planes that you have right now, the Airbuses right now?
Yeah. Well, right now, in Malaysia, we're all Airbus, but in Thailand and Indonesia, we're not all Airbus. So we still have about 20-odd 737s. So of the remaining order, which is something like 120 planes, 20-odd will go to replace the 737s. The remaining 100 is really for growth. Uh-huh. It sounds an enormous amount of planes, but you must remember when we started, we had 2 planes. 7 years later, we've got 75 planes. And we're in a growing market. ASEAN, to me, is unexploited. We have 600 million people in this region. Most of the destinations we've done, no traditional airline has ever even touched. And we haven't even started India. So there's a lot of growth still. We're very optimistic. I mean, we launched a route to India 2 weeks ago. I think no airline is launching new routes. But we're completely full for December for that route to Tiruchi. So there is demand if you get the pricing right and you're innovative in doing a route that no one else has done.
The planes that you purchase are purchased by Air Asia, but when they are used by Thai Air Asia and Indonesia Air Asia, do you lease that to them? It's a sublease. It's a lease to
correct,
them.
Correct, we sublease them.
There is concern among analysts that Air Asia is growing too fast. But if you look at the guidebook to running low-cost airlines, you have to grow. The minute a low-cost airline stops growing, that there's a problem. Mm. But analysts say that your earnings are at risk due to your very aggressive capacity expansion. Mm. Your load factor is now down by 6% to 71% compared to last year. They think that AK is overvalued, some think, but do you think it's undervalued?
Well, analysts, I have an interesting relationship with them. in fact, yesterday we had two analysts that upgraded us, Merrill Lynch and CIMB, put us at 180 and 150. it's the first upgrade we've had for a long, long time. We have been... I mean, analysts over the last 4 years have always downgraded us, and we've always bucked the trend, and we've always been contrarian. I find the best time to build is during a time when everyone's kind of shaky and not knowing what to do. You go out there and build market share. We have gone in the domestic market from 2% to now we have over 57% in the domestic market. So we're going to use this uncertainty when people are laying off, cutting routes, to go out there and build more market share. I think we're going to have a fantastic fourth quarter, and we have very good January bookings. We don't know. I think it'd be foolish for me to go and say, oh, yeah, we look fantastic. But I mean, I give you a very recent example. Thailand is a clear example of how AirAsia deals with something. 8 days, the airport is closed. I mean, not in my memory or my imagination can I ever believe a major airport closing down like that. Of course, complete chaos. I had 15 planes on the ground. Our business has now returned to almost where it was. We're at 90% of where we were. We lost very few sales because of our strong network, we were able to reroute people to other destinations. So someone was going to Bangkok could go to Chiang Mai or Phuket or Bali or wherever else. So we didn't lose any sales. And we came out, we're the first airline to come out and launch 100,000 free seats, of which, as at just now, I was just checking, we've sold 72,000 of those seats. The Thai government is thrilled. We've gone out there and done something positive. Our planes are full. All routes have been restored today, and we're running a full schedule. And we launched two new routes from Bangkok, Bangkok Guangzhou and Bangkok Bali. So, that's a very extreme situation. 9 days, no flights, yet we've bucked the trend through expansion. Now, the analysts would say that's crazy to do that, but now we're making more money because of this.
You're listening into The Breakfast Grill or BFM 89.9. We have that as three, Tony Fernandez in the studio. Tony, shares in Air Asia took a drubbing the start of the year in January. Once again, analysts concluded that you engage in speculative hedging of oil, saying that while you had call options to lock in your fuel costs at $82.60 per barrel, you actually sold these options off. What's the story here?
Well, I for the life of me, can't see how we can be criticized for that. Many airlines have oil hedges right now in their books at $95. Cathay Pacific is sitting on a mark-to-market of $700 million.
Even Malaysia Airlines has 48% at $102.
Well, there's my point illustrated very well. yet, how is that not speculation? But the fact that we had a very good oil hedge at $70-odd dollars, mm-hmm. When oil was predicted to be $200, we would have looked as brilliant. Mm-hmm. But I and my senior management, saw oil coming down very fast. At $90, we said, let's get out of these hedges. I don't think that's speculative. We got out of them, took the pain, paid the money. But hey, when oil today is at $36, we'll recover that money very, very fast. And we'll make more money rather than have an expensive hedge. So I actually think we reacted fast. We protected shareholders' value. And we are now unhedged, and we're benefiting from oil at $36.
BFM 89.9, the business station.